Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success.
Okay, man. Got through the holiday. Had a beautiful weekend. Golf courses are open. And the NBA basketball championship has started.
Yes, sir. It has started. It's on its way. And I only wanted it one way. I wanted LeBron to play against Curry, the two best players in the country. And I was at the barbershop the other day. I'm going to tell this spiel because I know my buddy, one of my buddies, I don't believe in wagering. I don't do that.
Right.
I try to say, I don't bet. So I told him, I said, I could do this. I could bring a gift card in here and you bring one in here and somebody going to leave with two. That's what I told him.
Yeah.
So that's when I see him this Saturday. I guess I'm going to be the one leaving with two.
You got two. He liked that 3-1. He was looking at that 3-1.
But that's what I told him. So I'm in there and I'm talking to my barber. I say, look. I said, the way OKC set up, they can't win this last game. He's like, what do you mean? I say, their offense is too lopsided.
Mm-hmm.
I say, if Westbrook get the ball, he go hard right. If you cut him off, he going to dribble up right.
Mm-hmm.
Or he gonna, if you make him go left, he going to throw it to the left corner. He's never going to finish with his left hand. Then I said, Durant don't never post up. He always come off the top screen or he come off the dribble with almost 7 feet tall. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, man, you got to be kidding me. I said, okay, we'll see. I'm not saying I'm a prophet, but I know a little bit.
That's what I was going to call it.
I know a little bit about something. I know what I see. If I can look at the offense and say, let it look like elementary school, they're not going to win.
Okay.
That's too elementary to be in the NBA. And then them brothers got too much swag and too much heart, man.
Yeah, the supporting cast.
They got too much heart. You can't beat that.
Yeah, that was quite amazing. 3-1. I think a lot of folks have, had wrote off the Golden State Warriors, man.
Yep. And then the way Westbrook and Durant was talking about his kids and they making all these songs, making this man name bad, now they got to live in his shadow.
What happened when you open up mouth and insert foot?
They done get him. He a young fella, so he getting, yeah. He done got some respect like, I'm going to say this now, he done got some respect like Magic now, like Isaiah Thomas, like Jordan. Now, he on that level when you come back like that,
okay,
and they looking at you like, oh, he not the thug type, he not tough, he not this, give him that ball in his hands and let there be a couple minutes left.
Okay, Family Guy, you know, always got his kids at the end of the interviews, you know, I mean, they like that, man.
Beautiful wife.
That's marketing.
It's marketing, man.
You know, and the guys at the Nike.
People Magazine, Time, all that. See, they people don't even look at it like the cooking show, all that.
Right.
Man, there's so much money that brother getting just by being wholesome and being right. But then they trying to discourage him. And they the ones look discouraged.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They got to get a brother his props and, and give him his due, man. He earned it. He was hurt, you know.
Yeah.
He was hurt. They struggled to get back into their rotation.
Yes, they did.
But once they got it rolling, man, it was like downhill.
I'm not a bandwagon guy, but that boy's special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's special. He's something special, man.
He is, man. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I've been a diehard old fan for the Cavs for years. But that's, I just told a guy the other day.
He's a special kid.
Most folks don't know about Richfield Coliseum. That's an old cow pasture. Back in the day where the Cleveland Cavaliers used to pack.
That's how they got the name. Yeah. The Cavs. The Cavs. See, you know some history.
That's back in the late 70s, man, early 80s. Wasn't no superstars. But, that's when my wife and I got to be Cavs fans.
Yeah, but I like the city of Cleveland, though. It's nice. Yeah. Downtown is nice.
It's come a long way back, man. Yeah.
I done been hung out there before LeBron, during LeBron, and after LeBron. And when he then came back, I done seen it. I see why he back there.
Okay.
Your name can be a commodity.
Yeah.
It's worth so many millions just when somebody say your name. So right now, Curry's the best player, pound for pound.
Two-time MVP.
For his team.
Yeah.
But you could put LeBron with any four guys.
Six times he has been to the NBA championship. Six times.
You can get four guys from the IM League in this the city here. They'd go to the NBA finals with LeBron. Okay. I'm saying they're going to win it every year, but he'll carry him on his back.
Yeah, and he has done that, man.
He'll carry the chicken coop to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, we have to give him his props, man, because he's a proven. He's proven.
Yes, he's proven. He's proven. But it's going to be – this finally is – it's not going to be lopsided. Every piece is in shape. Everybody's there. And it's going to be a straight-up war.
I think it's going to be a historic series, man.
Tip-off Thursday, right?
Thursday at 9 o'clock.
Then I've been watching it on the internet, so I got, like, I get the coach's view. Like, I got four screens.
Log in,
it's like four screens pop up live.
That 360.
Yeah, so I see one of them with the guy breaking the ball up court. Then one of them is a bench view. Then one with the person that's about to get the ball. Then the announcer talking, and it's like, I love that.
That's a breakdown for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I need that. Oh, wow. So I love it. So it's just giving me, I'm excited. I wish we had more games after this. That's
It's always bad to see it come to an end. Yeah. Hey, that's the way it is, man.
Yeah, things come to an end. And today I was just thinking, you know, we've been doing insurance. We did houses. Yep. We did
liability.
Professional liabilities. Yep. Today I was like, well, I know we looked at car insurance before, but we didn't ever look at it this angle, Tony. I got a kid. Mm-hmm. They go on the driver's training. Mm-hmm. Or I have a child. That's getting ready to go to college.
Okay.
What's going to happen to my insurance policy? What's going to happen? What do I got to look forward to? I brought a checklist in. I just want to ask you some questions on what I'm going to have to look at and what it's going to be like if I'm that parent that's saying, I'm excited about having this open house so I can change this boy bedroom to a den or whatever.
Right. But it's a real room.
Yeah. Or an office. I'm happy about him leaving. Or I'm happy about them giving their driver's license because I don't have to take him to practice no more because I got them a nice car or a piece of car. I know I had a piece of car when I was at home. My car was in town. It wasn't a Lincoln Town car, but it was a town car. It only went around town.
Right.
So it was great A to B, but it better not go to C.
That's sort of like mine.
It was some oil.
Go to the gas station, say, fill it up with oil and check the gas. And that mug was burning some oil.
Yeah. So just looking at that, just in that capacity, like, what does somebody have to prepare for when they're getting ready for a child to leave the nest to go to college? Or when they start driver's training, how does their insurance policy affect it by something like that?
Well, unfortunately, this era of distracted driving has put a huge damper on parents when their kids with policies. Now, what happens is when they're in driver's ed, and once they get their driver's license, the insurance companies do a check every 6 months, every year, through the Secretary of State to find out the number of licensed drivers at a particular location, at your home. And they know when that person receives a license, now they are driving in that vehicle, you must put them on your policy, okay? Before, it wasn't a big deal, but like I say now, with the number of accidents and fatalities with distracted drivers, and unfortunately, many of those are young drivers, the insurance industry has just taken a whole different view about how they're going to price this risk.
So age is a definite factor when it comes to car and automobile insurance.
Huge, man. Huge. I had an example. A lady had called. Her policy had lapsed. She had two vehicles on it prior to it lapsing. It was around $200 a month.
Okay.
Called me back, said, okay, got to start my policy, but I got to put my 18-year-old son on the policy. I said, okay. And it, went up four times.
So he was going to use her car or he had his own vehicle?
He had his own vehicle.
So that's another factor then,
yeah.
Him having his own vehicle. So now he got something that's personally his.
Versus being a driver in the household, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so that, it's like what a lot of the insurance companies are saying, especially, they look at all the components about the credit issue, the driving record, the tickets, and some of them have taken the view that they're going to just price themselves out of the market. Because the statistics show that there will be an accident with these young drivers only because the message has not gotten through about distracted driving. I mean, you see it every day when you're driving. I'm watching kids on their cell phones, and the last thing that they're really concerned about is the traffic. And there's a risk because if somebody is killed, seriously injured, the insurance company's on the hook. That's a lot of money.
That's funny. I was in transit to work today, and I seen a car. a Malibu, and the whole front end was gone by the driver's side, mm-hmm. and it looked like they hit somebody they was texting. But then they still was texting on the phone this morning. Like they just got off work, they looking down at the phone. I'm like, hold up. And the wheel was slanted like this. Nice car. But the front part was gone. All the fiberglass and the grill, half of it gone in the front by the left wheel. And it was lean. I was like, they probably was texting like they doing right now mm-hmm. when they driving, and they hit something. And they still doing it.
And evidently didn't have the right coverage to get it fixed.
That's right, because they still rolling.
Still rolling. Should have been in a rental where your car is sitting in the shop, because it sounds like if that wheel is in that position,
you already know,
shouldn't be driving that vehicle.
It's a lot of stress. You know what I'm talking about? It look a little slanted.
Yeah.
So them ball bearings and them joints get a lot of pressure on them.
Okay. Yeah. So tire come off, roll down the street, hit somebody's windshield or hit somebody's car. Another accident, another potential claim. So, yeah, it's unfortunate that, you know, society has to deal with this distracted driving. I was on the highway yesterday, and it was like two accidents, major accidents. And when you're looking at these front ends of these cars, you can see that people were going at a rate of speed where they really didn't have time to react. And that tells me if you were paying attention to the car in front of you, you probably would have had time to react. But something was distracting you to cause you to rear end these this other vehicle like that, like you did.
And you're going full speed hitting them.
Full speed.
But then most of the time, those are like you said, age. Age is a component, because when we're dealing with the next generation of kids, they are tech savvy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So for one, they buying the cars with all the gadgets in them. Mm-hmm. Then they got all the gadgets in the car.
And the phones, right.
And they got their phone in here. And they probably got headphones on when they're driving.
Right.
So this is for the parents. So like when you think about putting somebody on your insurance policy, you probably need to go through a class with them and say, these things are not accepted while you're driving the car I bought you. Or you driving my car,
okay?
To save their life, because that's a very important component. Like, we're trying to save you money on our program, but I would most importantly want to save a life.
Yeah, that's most important. And you know as well as I do, when you first started driving, you are not nearly as conscious as you are now.
Oh, okay? Please. I know I wasn't.
Only through experience.
I knew one speed.
Okay. and we didn't have cell phones, right?
No, we did.
The biggest thing that we had to distract us was probably the radio.
Go the fastest you can go. And then, depending on the song playing,
it could be even faster.
That's going to be even faster.
Yeah.
But that's just being young. I don't know what it is. It's like you motivated, you turning the car fast, or you just stupid stuff.
Stop signs or doing that slow roll through a stop sign when you don't come to a complete stop. You know, just doing things that you don't do now.
Don't do that because you know better. So it's like when you look at a young person, they get a vehicle, and they always end up like, and you end up talking to them. Like, I got a buddy, he got a son, he got a newer car, and I always say, how you get that ticket? Oh, I was on my way to get a lunch somewhere.
Right. Like, in a hurry.
In a hurry? I was like, you going down Peck like that? He's like, I had to get back to class. See, boy, that's a red zone.
Accident just waiting.
And the police waiting there too. So, like, you just got to think about things like that and how it affects them.
Yeah, so what happens now, though, is, say, for instance, you don't notify the insurance company that you have a teen driver.
So how did it affect the claim then? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the law basically says that when you purchase that insurance policy, you are insuring everybody in the household that lives there, even if they're not listed on that policy.
So that's my next question. Like, so if I got this household and everybody supposed to be on my insurance, like I know where I used to only be my wife, so she's on everything.
Right.
But now I got this household and I got everybody in this household, whoever jumped in my car, supposed to be insured. But then if they somebody that's underage or somebody that got some points, how does that affect my claims and all that? Like what's that configuration?
Well, what happens is if you get a claim, the insurance company, provided that person lives in your house, they're going to honor that claim. They will honor that claim. Now, they will tell you that you will add this person to the policy.
After the fact.
So they or non-renew you.
Okay. So they get the money on the back end. Like, this person caused this accident, and they got these points, and they got this credit score, because they show the credit score, too.
Credit score, yep.
And the points. They hit you with the credit score and the points of that person.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got to put that person on your...
on your insurance.
After the claim.
Yeah.
So then now you done got this new car, but then now you done got this claim that you done claimed on there and this person.
Mm-hmm.
So you see the example you had somebody had an insurance policy that lapsed at $200.
Right.
And now it's $4,000.
Yeah, for 6 months. Yeah, right around $600 a month.
So it went from being like 800.
No, it was only 200 a month.
Okay.
But it went up to 600.
So then it was, roughly. So 6 months, it was 1200. So now it's 4000.
Yep. And the purpose of that is, man, we don't want the business, is what that boiled down to. Because as it happens all the time, where some folks slip through the cracks. They don't get everybody. And I know personally there's been cases that individuals were not on the policy. They were driving the vehicle. They totaled the vehicle. Insurance company paid them, you know, purchased them a new vehicle, and just said at that point they have to be added to the policy now. So now they're going to rate them. When we say rate them, those are all the components that come into play, such as age, driving experience, type of vehicles in the household. Now that's going to determine what your premium is going to be. And trust me, it will increase. So, yeah, the dynamics of auto insurance have changed. And then the other piece to this craziness is the uninsured motorist that's driving around. Because when people call and ask for a quote, and you say, okay, are you insured? And they say, no, that's a percentage. Okay?
Okay.
And when we know what the percentages are in the Detroit metropolitan area, it's almost 50. But if somebody hits you and they are uninsured or underinsured, then in the no-fault policy, you can buy that additional coverage to cover you in the event that somebody hits you that does not have insurance or have 2040, which is the underinsured. Okay?
Yes.
So you have to buy that policy, which is the which is part of the component of the Michigan No Fault. Okay? And
that's the one you got. You have to have that. You have to have something.
You don't have to. You do not have to purchase it. You just have to buy. What you do have to have is the liability coverage that says, if I hit somebody and I'm liable, then we need to pay that. We need to pay for those folks.
All right, okay. So even if you don't have no coverage on yourself, you could drive around in a weapon then, and you could die in it. And they're like, well, he died in his car. You hit a tree.
Right, you hit a tree.
And you, so that if you hit a tree, you got to pay a whole bill then.
Yeah, you have no insurance, okay?
But if you hit somebody else, you good.
Provided, no, you're not good, because there's going to be some other things that come into play. Because, first of all, it is against the law to drive with no insurance.
Okay.
So there's going to be some restitution there, possible jail time. Okay, and if you have any assets at all, they're going to take those.
Yeah.
So what happens is the liability portion of your policy covers you in the event you hit somebody and you're negligent in your vehicle. But the policy does not stand alone to cover you if you are hit by somebody that has no insurance.
Mm.
That's why you must make sure that you purchase that in your policy. Ask your agent to make sure that you have the same limits of no insurance and under insurance, because it's a different dynamic on how you get paid.
Okay.
When somebody hits you that does not have insurance.
That's okay. A good configuration.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I know that
the no fault is huge, man. It's a,
and I know you mentioned something about some insurance companies not want to give coverage. That's why they charge some of those high rates, like that $4,000. Does the place of residency where you live at have something to do an effect with?
Absolutely.
If they want to cover you or not? Do you have an example like that?
It does, but most of it will hinge on your driving history.
Okay.
Your insurance score. Because these underwriters, you know, they crunch numbers all day, take statistics to determine who are the higher risk folks. And they put them in this box and said that here's an age group, here's a demographic where they live. Chances are these folks are going to be more apt to have car insurance issues than folks that live over here. That's a certain age group that's got hardly no tickets, you know, got a pretty much clean, claims free. They're going to get the best rates, okay? And unfortunately, a lot of times, people will file claims when they should.
And that messes up the whole system.
Yeah, because you get good rates when you have claims-free discount. okay?
Yes.
So regardless if you're at fault or not, it's still considered a claim, and you'll lose that discount from all insurance companies. So if you get, like, a broken window.
And you do a claim on it.
Yeah.
Like, I got a free claim on mine if I wanted to, but, like, I wouldn't use it for no window or nothing. Like, if I get in a terrible accident, which I'm knocking on wood and praying to God
right.
that I don't have to, I'll wrap my car with the – I pay for the windshield to get fixed.
Yeah, because that's going to keep your rates down.
Yeah, like, it was a scratch on the back of our car, and my wife had it. I'm like, I wouldn't pay for that. I think I paid like $250.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Because they called my insurance company, like, you got a free claim, Charles. You never made a claim.
Okay.
I was like, well, I'll just keep it like that. Let me keep my insurance.
Cause every affordable.
every 6 months for me, I think with two vehicles, it's only like $450.
It's a great rate.
Because I'm good credit.
Claims free.
And I tell my wife, you better drive like driving Miss Daisy.
Okay.
You better.
No, I know. Ain't in a hurry to get nowhere.
Nowhere. Take your time.
Yep, I'll pull over. If you're in a hurry, I'll let you go by, man.
And I used to be a speed racer.
Okay.
But then when I figured out, because I had my license taken away when I was young.
Oh.
Man, that hurt, man. Yeah. Have your license suspended?
Okay.
That's the scariest thing ever. Because now you try to get in the car and they pull you over. It's over.
It's over, man. You're going to jail.
To jail. So I was blessed. I think I drove a couple of times, but it hurt. And I had to pay all that money back. When I got suspended, I think I owed like $2,700.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy made me pay it all back on my own.
Taught you a lesson, didn't he?
Taught me about it. I drove like Miss Daisy. After that, I ain't look at the fast red cars no more and turbos mm-hmm. and all that. I'm like, nope, I don't want none of that.
Nope, Uncle, how fast they go.
You can have that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Not when it costs you money, because you're going to pay more in your insurance, and it's not worth it. It is not worth it, man. So, and the no fault is something that we could, you know, probably talk about every week, especially if it comes to kids, because you brought up a point earlier. I mean, they go through the driver's education program, which is supposed to teach them, you know, how to drive safely, defensively. But you as a parent need to make them understand that it becomes now, like you said, you're more concerned about their well-being. Yeah. You don't want them behind the wheel acting reckless or driving distracted.
And that's,
okay,
that goes,
you don't want to lose them.
That goes into this one. I remember type of car you drive. Like, mm-hmm. So just imagine, parents, you got this kid that's in high school, and they just passed the driver's training with flying colors. They got straight A's, and you want to bless them with a car.
Okay.
Or you got this son that earned a full ride scholarship somewhere, or this daughter, and you're like, they got great grades, got great ACT. So you finna go out there and get them a challenge?
No.
You gonna go get them a Mustang?
Mm-mm.
And my son deserved this. My daughter, she doing it right. She need a 5.0 motor.
No.
She need a Hemi.
Get you a four-cylinder. Get you a four-cylinder, man.
Gonna put
me
in a four, Tony.
Yeah. We're gonna slow walk this one, Doc. Four-cylinder. We're gonna look at gas mileage. We're gonna look at what it costs to insure this vehicle. We're gonna do our research on it.
Okay. All right. Because I'm like, don't. They gonna put me in a four. And I commend that decision. I remember when I got my first car, I wanted a fast car like that. I wanted, you know, I'm from an older generation. In the new generation, they getting brand new cars, these kids these days.
Right.
I don't think I would want to meet like a Cutlass Broham with the positive rear end and
mm-hmm.
350 rocket motor. I wanted all that.
Get up and go.
Front end, raise up. You know, just I wanted that. My dad's like, nope, boy, four cylinder.
Okay. Yeah, I think I had a Ford Fairlane. Okay.
Had to give me, he's like, look, this is going to be good insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of kids ain't not driving this, and your car don't last longer than theirs.
Yep.
And he was right. He was right.
Yeah, it makes a difference, man.
And then my first ride in college, after that, the first newer car I bought was a Honda Accord.
Good car.
Yep.
Good safe car.
Yep. You're right. He. I was like, my friend was like, "Oh, you about that?" I was like, "I can drive this to Toronto."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
and when
it worked.
When you purchase cars, there's a lot of data you can get from the National Safety Institute. They can tell you, you know, what the safety rating is for an automobile.
And then the insurance is cheaper. That's what I noticed. I compare cars. I remember that.
Yep.
I always do that. Like you car shop, you think, and you know, everybody got the things they really realistically want. You're like, mm-hmm. All right. And like, oh, I can afford this kind of car. You know, I can afford this amount. I can afford this payment over 3 or 4 years. It's in my budget. I can do this. But
right.
Realistically, when you like look at the insurance and everything, do you really just want to? You can rent that car for that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You got that thrill. You're like, I want a Challenger. go look on somewhere online, Enterprise somewhere. They got them cars.
Oh,
you can rent one and ride on the beach, and everybody think it's yours. You take it back and jump back in your car, and sit. That's paid
and get
for.
Get to work.
Get to work and get that money.
Yeah.
You need to drive something, put it in storage, and just be like, I got that. That I don't think like that. I can't. Nah, that's a waste.
Not a good investment. Not at all. So, but yeah, those are very interesting subjects about these kids today. Wasn't always this way, but it is now. And you have to react accordingly when it comes to these dollars, because it will cost you to insure your vehicles when you have kids in the household.
Like, next question I want to ask is this one right here. I know it's not really about kids, but it's like marital status. How does that affect your car insurance?
Yeah.
So like, if I'm like, okay, say I'm not married, but if I'm dating a girl, and I'm like, I'm dating her.
No box for that. There's no box to
this
check.
This my boo. Dating. This my boo.
Don't. There's no boo box on that checklist. It's either wife or no wife.
Boo or like this.
And you get a better rating when you check that married box.
Oh, so what? Okay, share that with me then. Okay. I want to know. Expand on that, because like, you buy this new car, you're like, I got this. Me and my girl got this car together.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not married, and you're not on the renter's insurance. You're not on the homeowner's insurance. What's the effects and the terms of that?
You're going to pay a higher rate, okay?
Because it's like you're living single.
Yeah, yeah. It's the concept of being married.
Okay.
Okay. Concept that says that 90% of the folks that are married have some responsibility. They understand what it needs, what they have to do to be married, you know, provide a living. You don't stay out late. You probably don't do a lot of drinking and driving. You're more of a settled person, so therefore you are a better risk.
Oh, okay.
Than the guy that's single. Maybe not always true, but that's what the underwriters look at.
Based on statistics, based on numbers.
On statistics. Yeah. So you know nowadays you're right.
You could look back and you're like, your car got the chance of not getting scratched up.
Right. And the windows broke out and the tires cut if you married.
Because he's watching the Super Bowl on somebody else's house.
And I had a guy come to my office and told me that one day too. Super Bowl party. He come out, he had three flats.
He had three field goals through his window.
Right. I said, why? Now, I didn't know this, and I probably need to do my research.
Yeah.
But I said, well, why she only flattened three tires, man? He said that you can't file a claim unless all four of them are flat. Really? I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
I've never done the research on it either.
Yeah, oh, but he might leave. I don't know.
That girl was talking.
She's too smart.
She's going to leave him one good tire.
So that's a question I had about marital status. So like a lot of, you know, some people like, hey, we got this car, we not married, we got this, we share these bills. So it affects to the capacity of like the insurance to be probably more expensive.
Well, yeah, they're, you know, now because of the politics around relationships, they will let you put down a domestic partner. Okay. So, because sometimes a domestic partner are the same gender.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay.
So, therefore, not to discriminate, they'll let those two use a domestic, because they're not married, but they're domestic partners.
Okay.
So, there is a box for that. But I don't think it carries the same weight as it is if you check the married box.
All right.
On the auto application. And, of course, age. You know, as the older you get.
Distance from work,
you get a better rate until you get up to pass over the 80s.
How they check that, though? Like, say you're like, oh, I'm going to get some cheap insurance. I only say I drive 7 miles.
Well,
and then versus you driving 50, but you really drive 50, but you say you drive 7. So if they catch your car, like, where you was going? Like, I was going to work, but it was 60 miles away. It was like, hold on.
If you have an accident.
Okay. If you have an accident.
You got a police report. And, that, you know, a lot of that information is in the police.
Time of day. They're like, where you was going? Like, I was going to work. They're like, the insurance company, like, hold on, you say you only commute 10 miles.
Right.
So
now they're gonna adjust your rate at renewal.
Ooh.
So, no, they.
It's not worth it.
They got all the angles covered, Chauncey.
I'm just putting it out there because I know people that, no, I don't know people. I mean, I've read about situations and I've heard situations where people think they can save a buck.
Oh, yeah.
But actually try to cheat the system.
Yeah. Well, you know, the system is set up to give those that have all the stuff that insurance companies are looking for the best rate, which is your credit score, the no claims discount,
safety things.
You're married, the type of vehicle you drive, like say the distance of which you commute,
driving record.
Your driving record, all these things come into play when it talks about getting a premium or a good affordable insurance rate.
Okay. Is there anything else we got today?
I think one thing we want to just quickly cover is some of the penalties that occur when you drive without insurance.
Okay. So it's summertime, so like you give your kids the car. Oh, go to the store and get this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all right. Go in the store and get this. Yeah. Like, I'm going to cut the grill on. Go in the store and pick these things up.
But you forgot to pay the insurance. Okay.
Or they underage or they don't have a license.
Right. So
what's some of the pills?
Suspension, driver's license suspension, registration suspension. They actually take tags off your car. Fines ranging from $600 to $6,000. Additional lapse fees due to the sectarian state. Vehicle impoundment, jail time, community service, points on your license, a requirement to carry SR-22 insurance, which is basically saying that even though we're going to take your car, you're going to walk, we're still going to make sure that you pay SR-22. So in case you drive somebody else's car, you are covered from a liability standpoint. So, you know, driving without insurance is, you know, you're gambling with your future.
So it's always good to ask somebody, so if I hand somebody some keys in my car, ask them, do they got the car insurance?
Well, first thing you want to ask is make sure they got a valid driver's license.
Okay. So that's it. Sorry.
Okay.
Let me go to run the store right quick.
Because it's okay. All right. It's okay to loan your vehicle. Say your neighbor, say, man, my car's in the shop. My wife is at work. Can I borrow your car to pick her up? All right. You know he's got a valid driver's license. Whether or not he has insurance or not is not really that important at this point.
Okay.
Because you gave him permission to use your car, knowing that he was a licensed driver.
All right.
Okay. Problem comes in when they have a suspended license, you didn't give them permission to drive the car. Well, if you don't give them permission, they stole your car.
Okay.
Okay. And that's the problem a lot of times parents run into when kids sneak the ride.
Yeah.
Okay, without permission. Insurance companies say, well, if you want us to cover the claim,
report it stolen.
You got to report it stolen. You got to press charges.
Your own kid.
Yeah. If you want us to pay.
Lucky I don't have no kids.
Okay.
You going down, Lil Johnsy.
You got nothing to stand
I
on.
I told you don't steal this cowboy. I'm going to visit you.
And it's the same thing when you get a relative that steals out of your home.
Same thing.
All right.
You can't make a claim unless you press charges.
Some come up missing, and chances are you know who it was. Insurance company say, well, you press charges, you know, we'll replace it. But you can't not press charges and expect them to replace it.
Mm.
So be careful where you let stay in your house.
There you go.
Or drive your car.
You're right. And today I just was thinking about that topic because, you know, that's a good topic to have because
it is.
Like, I run into that working in the school system or being around different people where they like, I'm going to get this kid the car. They did good in school or they going to go to college. Mm-hmm. Or I need them to do some help when I'm picking their little brother and sister up.
Right.
And I can't be just be at all their practices and wait outside for them. I'm buying them this little piece of car. And,
you know, and chances are, you know, if you take a chance on your child, you understand what habits they have. If they're good students, because you get a good student discount when they are on the policy. You have to send in the records, the transcripts,
yep,
to show it.
Good grades.
And good grades. And more, you know, that shows responsibility.
Oh, yes,
a level
does.
Of responsibility.
I hope nobody ain't driving no car with no 1.0 around the street.
No. Nah.
Read level 7 levels below, you driving the car.
Right. You can't even read the street signs.
So come on now. It's very important. Reading is fundamental and good grades and all those things. So make sure you reward the right kind of kid when you put him behind your wheels of your investment.
Yeah.
A car and a house. And education are some bigger investments you're going to make in life.
Yeah, because ultimately, if something were to happen, you as the policy owner, is liable. If your child runs a stop sign, hits somebody, and there's some legal issues that come up, guess what? They're coming on you.
Okay. I think that's it. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
This is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and plan for your financial success. With 103.7 The Beat.